Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Friday. Friday, finally. Edition of It's Your Turn. Everybody, welcome to have Friday here, and especially those of us in the news business, in the radio business, because election week is a long week with the election return coverage that we had for you on Tuesday night, and it's pretty busy. It's pretty hectic, so we're always happy to see Friday of election week roll around. We have a good program for you today. We're going to be talking about a couple of things later on the program, but we're excited to have our first guests with us here in the studio today. We're going to be talking about the Salvation Army here in Butler and the good work that they do, and in particular, the start of their annual Red Kettle campaign. But first of all, let us welcome here to our WISR studios for the first time Captains Darlene and David Means, commanding officers of the Salvation Army here in Butler. Captains, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
So glad to be here.
Nice to have you here today. And you're relative newcomers to Butler.
Yes, we arrived July 1st here, and it was sunny. It was hot. Not so much now. It's still sunny, but it's not so hot. And since we've been here the last several months, we've just enjoyed our time here, getting our feet wet, so to speak, and, you know, just deciding what we need to do to help better the community here.
And where were you posted before you came to Butler?
We were in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. So if people don't know where that's at, that's more east. It's about a half hour from State College. It's between State College and Harrisburg. We were there for 6 years.
Well, listen, the cold weather's nothing new to you then if you were in Lewistown for a while, because if anything, that's a little colder than it is here because you're in the mountains there.
I believe the winter before last, we had accumulation of snow in mid-October.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So we're ahead of the game so far now here.
Well, we wanted to talk to you because all of a sudden we're on the cusp of the holiday season. Seems hard to believe, but Thanksgiving was 3 weeks from yesterday.
Yep.
So we're a little less than 3 weeks away from Thanksgiving, and of course that's kind of the unofficial kickoff of the holiday season. I personally like to wait a little bit before I get in too much of a hurry. I decry some of the commercialism of the holidays.
Sometimes the stores don't allow us to wait.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes you see Christmas stuff out there, you know, before school starts anymore. But it's a very important time of the year for the Salvation Army because that's when you have your Red Kettle campaign, right?
Yes, that's the popular thing, toward, especially this time of the year. We're known for that. The kettle goes back to the early 1890s. An officer in San Francisco was watching the servicemen come off the ships at the one docking, and he said, "What can I do for Christmas? I need to do something for these guys and their families at Christmas time." So he got the idea, and I'm not familiar with where he got the idea from, but to put a big kettle right on the dock as they come off the boats, and people would donate, and that's how it got started.
That is a fascinating story, and I never heard that
Captain
before.
Joseph McPhee, it was his name, 1891, I believe.
Son of a gun.
Yeah.
Always interesting to learn the background to something, well, I mean, it's part of American culture,
right.
The Red Kettle campaign of the Salvation Army at Christmas time, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but like Guineatown, they'll be out and about the stores starting November 15th.
Mm-hmm.
just to name a few, if I may.
Please.
Three or four sites at the mall, Clearview Mall, Boscov's, Rural King, right at the mall entrance, and JCPenney. We're out there. We're and starting on Black Friday, we'll have Walmart, both doors, and Sam's Club.
So it officially kicks off, that's a week from today, November 15th.
Yes,
right?
It's coming up.
You know, I'm still getting my arms around the fact that, October's gone.
Yes.
I can't quite believe it.
We start this planning clear in September, but we're still rushing around the last minute trying to finalize things, 2 months later.
So, yeah, week from today, next Friday, is November 15th. Now, the folks at Walmart, there's coming to have an early kickoff there, don't you?
Walmart has graciously this year offered the Salvation Army nationwide to do a toy drive / kettle day, which is tomorrow, November the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be at the Walmart here in Butler. The Salvation Army will have boxes where people can donate toys, or if they don't have the toys, they can donate in our kettle.
Mm-hmm.
And Walmart has left us start early, just this one day, and then it's not until after that on Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But they have offered this year for us to start that.
Yeah, Black Friday will be rolling around, too, Friday after Thanksgiving. Huh?
And that gets started quicker, Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what they're calling Thanksgiving, but they're open on Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah.
Well,
that's another story for another time.
So be it, I guess. So be it. Speaking of Thanksgiving, the Salvation Army will be offering a meal, right?
Yes. In lieu of, I know in years past they had given out turkeys and things for Thanksgiving, we're just having a dinner, a luncheon. Actually, it's over the lunch hour on
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
The 27th, the day before Thanksgiving.
The day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is very late this year.
Yes,
28th or whatever 28th. It is. Yes. Anybody's welcome to come. There's no criteria, and it's a free lunch. That will be provided, a full turkey dinner, with all the fixings. So anybody that wants to come can come.
Mm-hmm. And you need reservations for
No, just come. And, we hope to fill the gym. Our gym seats at probably about 100 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come. It starts at 11 o'clock, and it'll go through 1 o'clock.
And this is the day before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
The day
yes.
before
Wednesday.
Thanksgiving. Yep.
And the Salvation Army headquarters here in Butler is in the 300 block.
Yes, 313.
Of
Cunningham.
West Cunningham Street,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
Am I right on that?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
313 West Cunningham. So that's it's three blocks from Main Street, three blocks
right.
down the hill
yeah.
from Main Street. Yeah. So that'll be coming up the day before Thanksgiving. We're speaking, if you're joining us a little bit late, with Captains Darlene and David Means, who are newly posted here in Butler as of July of this year. Well, that's only a few months ago, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as you said, David, it was a lot warmer then when you when you first came to Butler.
Yes.
Now, you're not total strangers to Western Pennsylvania and the Butler area.
No. Matter of fact, both of us were born and raised in Western Pennsylvania. My wife's from Sharon, PA, which is less than an hour away. And I was born and raised in Uniontown, south of Pittsburgh, a little bit further. But yes, and we both belong to the Salvation Army. And the Salvation Army is not new. Our parents belong to the Salvation Army. A lot of our family belongs to the Salvation Army, mm-hmm. as our church. And even our daughter and son. Son's up in Bradford, PA, up in the, they've always had snow.
You realize how close to the borders your family
yes,
were.
Yes.
Darlene, you are right next to the Ohio border.
Yes.
Uniontown is pretty close to the West Virginia border.
Yeah.
You got a son up by the New York state line.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. And him and his wife's been there for 2 years in Bradford as officers. My daughter was a former officer stationed right here in Butler about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we are familiar with the area. Yes.
Is it common for this to run in families as in yours, or are you a bit unique?
I think, as far as we know, now there's been other families. We know one family that produced five officers.
Mm.
And the parents were stationed in Erie at one time, and all five of their sons became officers. It is kind of unique. What's unique with us, when we went into seminary, our son was with us. So we both went
him
into seminary
wife.
Together. So that part of it's kind of strange. Well, not strange, but unique.
Indeed.
Yeah. And like I said, our daughter, she's no longer an officer, but she works at a corps in Uniontown, matter of fact, our hometown. So, yeah, we are an Army family.
And where did you go to seminary? Where's that located?
It's in Suffern, New York, just probably a half hour from New York City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, it was our son and his wife were there with us, so it was nice to have somebody there with us. So.
Well, it's certainly nice to have you here in Butler, and the Salvation Army does so many, many good works. But some people may not realize that you're also a church.
Yes, you know? We are, and we don't promote ourselves well, and that's our fault in that regard. It was first and foremost a church when our founders, back in 1865 in Lower East Side of London, sought the need to start the Salvation Army, and of course, with God's help, started this. And we call ourselves a movement because it started from the basic beginnings, and it's been moving through the decades since then. And we are a church. We hold church services every Sunday. We hold Bible studies, and there's programs for men, women, and children, just like most churches would have.
Mm-hmm. And that's right at 313 West.
313. Yep. And what's unique about in our building, we also have a gym, so there's a lot of sport activity, basketball and volleyball and stuff going on, especially through the fall and winter months.
The Salvation Army started in London. Who was the founder?
William Booth and his wife Catherine, 1865. It seems so long ago, but within ourselves is our mindset of officers, we have that mindset that we're giving the orders directly from him, even as we speak. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been gone now since 1920 or 1912. I think he passed away. And it's carried on. And, you know, we call ourselves an army because we're patterned after the military. That's he wanted a structure. Rigid, and what more rigid structure than the military discipline, you know, and that's why we have officers. We're captains. In 2 years, we'll be majors. We have one general who heads the whole International Salvation Army. His office is in London, and we're in 128, 129 countries now.
Oh wow! Didn't realize
yes.
it was
yeah. that. Yes. Well, in the last 5 years, we've gotten four or five more. Countries. So it is a movement. It's we're not all the, I guess the goal is to reach every country of the world. So we're not there yet, but we're working on it.
Got a pretty good start, 129 countries. I was aware that the Salvation Army was founded in London. I didn't remember the name of William Booth, but this would have been in the middle of the 19th century, the mid-1800s, and London was a pretty squalid place at that time. Listeners, this, if you've ever read any of Charles Dickens' novels,
yes.
David Copperfield and
Oliver.
And some of the Oliver, yeah,
yes.
Oliver Twist.
Oliver Twist, yes.
These described the conditions
in London.
You get the idea
of the environment and the culture that was going on
absolutely.
At that time.
And this
a
is
lot of
what,
street people.
This is what William Booth saw, and he decided that he was being called to do something about it.
Yes. He was a former Methodist minister, and he felt the mainstream church wasn't fulfilling that need, and he saw it all around him where he grew up, and he, with God's help, developed this vision of the Salvation Army to help meet the needs of quote-unquote street people, homeless, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the prostitute, and other people. So that was his calling, and he put forth that vision, and it just took fire. And they spent London and surrounding areas for 15 years, and they came over 1880 to America, and it's been going on here ever since.
Where William Booth and his wife Catherine?
Catherine.
Were they preachers as well?
Yes, he was. She wasn't. She I think she became ordained later, but he was ordained in the Methodist tradition,
mm-hmm.
And he was itinerant. He went out and about to various places to preach, and that was his main focus, preaching. And even when he started the Salvation Army, even in the midst of all the social ills that he was witnessing, he still was a fiery preacher, and that was his main force.
I wouldn't doubt that his concept of structuring the Salvation Army along the lines of the British military may have been one of the reasons why it's been, you know, was able to sustain and flourish over the many decades now because of that solid structure.
Right. We start out, the members of our church are called soldiers, and then you have the ones that are in seminary, they're called cadets,
mm-hmm.
and then when they get ordained, they become lieutenants, and then after so many years, you become a captain, then a major, and then when you reach higher up in our ladder, when you become in charge of usually a territory or division. You usually become a lieutenant colonel, and then a colonel, a commissioner. And like my husband said, there's only one general, and he's over in England that oversees all the Salvation mm-hmm. Armies.
And the common practice is for a husband and wife to serve together as a team?
Yes, we are both. And this is what separates us, I think, for most mainstream churches. When we become ordained, we're ordained together.
We're both ordained ministers.
So we have the authority, so to speak, to do whatever any ordained minister would do. The lady has that as well.
Hey, we're talking to and meeting for the first time Captains Darlene and David Means from the Salvation Army here in Butler. We need to take a break. It's nice to have them with us. A few more things to talk about, including, folks, you're not going to believe this, the red kettles are going high-tech in some places, and I think that's going to happen here too, maybe. We'll get the details on that in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Friday edition of It's Your Turn. Welcome, whether you're listening on the radio here in our region or whether you're listening to us online as we stream this program all over the world, wherever you are. Welcome. Nice to have you with us here today. We'll be right back. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
They're back! So don't miss another night of raucous musical comedy when Connecting to Tomorrow hosts the Piano Maniacs for an encore performance. Saturday, November 16th at the Lindora American Legion. Tickets $20 each and the proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring programs. Doors open at 6, music starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21, food is available. Get tickets at the door, Butler County Radio Network, or Eventbrite online. And join C2T for some dueling piano fun.
Back, good friends. Great to have you with us on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guests with us here in the studio, Captains Darlene and David Means from the Salvation Army here in Butler. Well, I got to meet Darlene and David actually just before we went on the air here today because I'd never met them before and talked on the telephone setting up our chat today. And I mentioned to them that I just saw a story on the wire this week about the Salvation Army kettle donations going high tech. Let me first read this story. It's only a couple of sentences here. Don't have change for the Salvation Army Red Kettle this year? No problem. You'll be able to use Apple Pay and Google Pay. The kettles will have QR codes and electronic tags, so you can just tap and pay. Your donation will go to the Salvation Army within your billing zip code. So I mentioned this to the captains here, and David, you said, oh, yeah, we're going to have that too. And I said, really? Really? This holiday season?
Yes, this holiday season we will be having them. We will have on our kettles, stands, on the signs, a little tag that you can, will be able to take your smartphone and put up to it and do your donations, because most people nowadays do everything electronically. They either use their debit cards or credit cards or their phones to pay everything. And a lot of people come out of the store and say, oh, I don't have any change to give you. So now there's really no excuse that you can't donate, because we will be having those here in Butler. We probably won't have them when we first start, but they will be coming out. I know by at least Black Friday we will have them.
Mm-hmm.
So they can pay by that way.
Well, it's true that a lot of people don't carry much change these days. But, hey, folks, a little folding money wouldn't hurt either for a donation.
No,
you know,
right.
You can toss that into the kettle.
That gives our volunteers something to do the next day to count it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, when I first read this story, I thought, wow, I wonder if we'll ever get that in Butler. I had no idea that it would come this quickly.
Yes, they tried the last couple of years in New York City, down in Philadelphia, things like that. They've tried the pay, and it's worked. So they figure it's going out, I guess from what we're understanding, it's going across the country. It's just not going to be in
Eastern Pennsylvania
or mm-hmm. the eastern states. It's supposed to be the whole country. So they've tried it several places, and that's what they're going to go to now.
Yeah, when I first read the story on the wire, I thought, oh, that's nice. It's probably New York, you know, maybe Los Angeles, but it's going to be here.
I'm really surprised it took this long, to tell you the truth, you know, because we've asked in several years, 3-4 years at least, people coming up, do you have, you know, we don't have no change. Do you have anything to do it electronically?
Yeah.
I said, no, not at this time, but it's coming. And, you know, and I was a prophet back then 4 or 5 years ago, and I knew it was coming, but I thought it would be here sooner than now, but it's here.
Well, I'm sure William Booth never dreamed about that.
No, he didn't.
Probably not.
For me, I have very vivid memories of being a young child, and I'm thinking, I don't know, 6, 5, 6, 7 years old, something like that. We used to have, it was the biggest department store all around the Butler area back when I was a kid. It was called Troutman's. It was mm-hmm. right in
yes.
the downtown area.
Familiar with Troutman's.
Yeah, the building is still there. It's a big cycle warehouse now, but that was a department store.
Mm-hmm.
That was the closest thing we had in Butler to a Kaufman's or, you know, mm-hmm. a Gimbel's or something like that. It was a great store. But I can remember as a little kid going in and coming out the door, one hand holding mom's hand, you know, and there would be the Salvation Army volunteer ringing the bell.
Yeah.
You know, coming on. And that memory is as vivid in my mind as if it was last week.
Yes. And just hearing when we're standing, my husband and I, we stand at the kettles. Might not be every day, but you'll see us out every once in a while when we need somebody to fill in. We will be there ringing the bells. And but when I was younger, even a teenager growing up in Sharon, I would stand and ring the bell at Christmas time. And just people coming up, especially the veterans,
mm-hmm.
coming up and saying thank you and telling their story is just so heartwarming. And we're glad that we're out there, that we're able to help people.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I mentioned before, it really is. It's, you know, it's become kind of a part of American culture at this time of the year, and probably in other parts of the world, too. I've never been in other parts of the world at Christmas time, but I'm sure there are Red Kettle campaigns for the Salvation
yeah.
Army
mm-hmm.
and many of the other of the 129 countries as well.
Right.
And even a part of American culture, you know, the great Broadway musical Guys and Dolls, although it didn't mention the Salvation Army by name.
There was some reference there.
Obviously, it was patterned after the Salvation Army.
Right.
And what a wonderful, warm story that is, Guys and Dolls. And, you know, that's part of the American canon of Broadway musicals.
You know, another Christmas icon movie is A Christmas Story with Ralphie. And they go downtown, and there's the Salvation Army band playing during Christmas, and you hear the bells ringing. And you know, that's what we're known for. If you asked anyone to list five things that they know of Christmas, and almost everyone that I've talked to, at least, would mention the Salvation Army kettle, part of their memory, even growing up as children, even through adulthood today.
Do you rely heavily on this campaign for financing your good works?
It is our major fundraising campaign for the year. And yes, we want to raise enough for Christmas. We provide toys and food and stuff for needy families at Christmas time. But we would like to see it carry over at least to the first quarter of the new year to help us with ongoing programs that we do throughout the year.
Well, let's talk about some of those other programs for people who may not be familiar. What are some of the other programs offered here at the Butler Salvation Army?
Well, first off, we have a daily Monday through Friday feeding program from 11:30 to 12:30. Anybody's welcome. We serve a hot meal every day, and it doesn't matter about your income or whatever. Then we do a monthly food bank, which is the second and third Tuesdays and Thursdays of the month. That is sort of more restricted. You have to meet certain income guidelines.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah. We have, in the evenings, we have programs for children. We have youth basketball. We have, we're trying to start our chess club back up. I guess last year they had a chess club that met first grade through 12th grade. The kids would come in and they would meet on Tuesdays and they would learn to play chess. On Wednesday, we have our youth activities, which Salvation Army has troops, Girl Guards, Sunbeams, Boys Adventure. They are sort of like Girl Scouts, Brownies, and Boy Scouts, but these are Salvation Army programs.
And obviously faith-based.
Yes, they are faith-based. Then on Thursday, right now we have a co-ed volleyball. It's for adults. Well, it's actually for 16.
They lowered the age to 16.
16 and older. But they are going to try and start maybe a youth one on Thursday also at the first of the year for the younger ones, maybe.
You're able to do this because you have a gym.
We have a gym.
Yes, there's so much opportunity.
So we have those that's happening during the year, the school year. We have these going on. In the summer, we have money. This money also helps us to be able to send kids to our summer camp, which is in Elwood City. And we have, I'm trying to think, I think we have about 17 spots for kids to go, maybe even more for children to attend our camp. And we raise money, we try and raise money through the kettle to help with that too, where the parents don't have to put out the money to go to the camp.
And may I add, it costs about $350
per child.
For 4 or 5 days of residential camp.
Where they stay overnight. And we don't charge. We charge a minimal fee to do the registration and to get them back and forth from the camp. That is it. The rest of it, we provide for the child to go to camp. We don't charge them the $350, because we know there's families out there that can't afford it. And this gives the children an opportunity to get out in the fresh air and to do things. So,
you mentioned evening activities for youth. What time are they able to come to that?
Well, our troops start at 5:30, because actually on Wednesdays at 5:30 we do have supper for the children. We prepare a meal. This past week we had raviolis, and we have a dessert for them. So we have something that the kids will eat. But we have supper for them at 5:30, and then we go into our activities from 6 until about 7. Mm-hmm. It's only an hour long, so it's about an hour and a half.
And looking into the new year, we plan to start help with homework program. Kids come in and use the computer. Perhaps they may not have a computer at home. Along those lines, we're looking at providing computer assistance for adults as well. I can send an email and receive an email, but my computer knowledge limits, you know, and people probably have the same problem. So we're going to invite the adults to come in, and we'll have an instructor just to go over basic computer. So, I mean, we're in the computer age, so if you don't get on board, you know, you're lost in many cases. We're looking to start that sometime in January.
Yeah. And then also it would be during the day if adult needs to get online, because even the public assistance now, they have to fill forms out online. Mm-hmm. If they don't have access to a computer or to the internet, then we can the computer will be available for them. We're not exactly sure in January when this will start, but once we do, we'll let the public know, and then the adults can come in and maybe get help to try and fill out those, because some people can't even understand how to fill those out, and then somebody will be there to help them fill out the different applications that they might have.
Well, there are some families that don't have access, online access. It's becoming more, as you said, becoming more and more critical.
Right.
There was a time many years ago when the Salvation Army had a canteen or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't think they've been able to continue
program. We have a regional canteen. So if there's major fire or flood or something.
That's what I remember it from, disaster.
It's a mobile kitchen that can go to wherever the problem might be, and they still have them. We used to have one station located in Butler, but the need was just to spread it out and allow our region to have access to it. But when there's a major fire, we can also garner the resource in our headquarters, because they have a fleet of canteens, and it provides assistance to the first responders, the firemen, the paramedics, and police to any disaster.
I know I've seen in covering some major disasters, off there to the side, the Salvation Army canteen serving hot coffee or if it's the middle of the summer, cold drinks to the firefighters or first responders.
And if for some reason we can't get our canteen, the fire department or whoever that needs our help to serve a meal or whatever, they can still call us. We have a 12-passenger van that we will take seats out, and we will put the canteen, the hot chocolate or the coffee or the cold drinks and that. We are here to serve Butler County in any way that we can.
Mm-hmm. Do you have enough bell ringers for the holiday season?
We're always
season
looking for more. It seems like there's never enough in all our appointments we've been at. We have some signed up now. Now, there's two ways to do it. You could be a complete volunteer, but we have where they're paid a minimum wage. But we require that they do a full day to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
The need has become necessary to pay the workers, and so they can do that as well. But we have some signed up now, but we're always looking for more, and they just need to call the office, and I can give you our phone number. I'll give you a card, and you can maybe promote that throughout the time.
Sure.
They can come and fill out a short application, and once they're approved, we put them to work, and it's they're outside, so you have to make sure you're fine with that. Dress warmly, so it is a rewarding experience. I've been doing it most of my life, and to see that, being that we're on this end of it as administrators, we get to see where all these monies go to, and the people that's helped through this effort.
And the thing is with the bell ringers, if we have groups like different clubs at the schools or even churches that might have different groups and that, mm-hmm. or even just different clubs and organizations in Butler County. If you just want to challenge somebody, like we're hoping next year, we have the ROTC right now, one of the branches from the school that's going to stand for us this year. But the major that oversees that is going to hopefully next year get the other ROTCs from the other high schools locally to get involved and challenge them to see which ROTC can raise the money for us, the most money. Churches can compete against each other or different things. We had in our hometown of Uniontown, we had the challenges between several of the churches. They would compete because there is a trophy that we hand out, and if you raise the most money for that year as a volunteer, not paid people, but the volunteers, your group gets the trophy for a year. You get to display it in your area. So that's one thing you can do for us, is to challenge maybe each other to maybe get this trophy.
The Red Kettle Campaign. William Booth must be smiling down to know that this still thrives.
Yes, yes. And like I said, it was started in 1891, so he may or may not have had that vision in 1865 for it. But a young captain in San Francisco, seeing the military come on Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, seeing the need that he wanted to do something nice for them, for not only to just thank him for their service, but to provide a Christmas dinner for them and their family. And that's where it started, and it's been going strong ever since.
Well, you'll see the bell ringers and the kettles. Let's review those dates. Starts, is it a week from today? Do I have that right?
November 15th.
Next Friday.
Uh-huh.
Although there is a thing at Walmart
tomorrow.
Walmart's actually all across the country, right?
Yes.
To kind of get things kicked off. And then, once the Red Kettle Campaign goes, it'll probably go right through
Christmas Eve.
Yep.
Monday through Saturday. We don't do Sundays, but Monday through Saturday, clear through Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll hear the bells ringing again this year.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, how nice to meet the two of you.
We're glad to be
nice
here.
Nice to be here.
Welcome to Butler, and please come back. And I hope your stay here, however long you're posted here, is a pleasant one.
Okay. Thank you.
The two captains of the commanding officers of the Salvation Army here in Butler, Captains Darlene and David Means, chatting with us on It's Your Turn today. We need to take a break, but our program will continue, the Friday edition of It's Your Turn, in just a few minutes. So stick around, and we'll be back to talk with our next guest after these messages. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Folks, you talk about tradition. You realize Miller's Shoes has been in downtown Butler for well over 120 years now? Yeah, that's tradition. That's staying power. Miller's Shoes, your headquarters for shoes for all members of the family. If you're looking for athletic shoes, they've got them for men, women, teens, kids, and they've got all the famous brands, too, right there under one roof. Miller's Shoes has Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, Pro-Pet, and more. Athletic shoes for the whole family. They've also got Rockport shoes and Trotters and Hush Puppies, and many other famous name brands as well. Easy Spirit. And they're your local headquarters for America's favorite comfort shoes, SAS. You'll find them for men and women in a variety of styles and colors at Miller's Shoes. You can always count on that great Miller's fit, too. And a friendly smile from the Ciprians. Miller's Shoes. Headquarters for shoes for the entire family. 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Miller's Shoes.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family. At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands, remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Coming up on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR, I'm Dave Mawarkey. If you're just joining us, we're going to be talking today with two guests on the next segment of the program, Mary Bogist and Dave Phillips, and they're both visiting with us by telephone today. Dave Phillips is a former U.S. ambassador, and Mary Bogist has written about him. Folks, nice to have you with us today. Mary, let me start with you. First of all, what inspired you to write about the former U.S. ambassador to Estonia?
Well, I first met him when he was given a reception to going to Estonia by the Chamber of Commerce. And I had never met a U.S. ambassador before, so and I had known about him. And he was very successful as an entrepreneur, so I was very enamored at him at that point. And when he returned 2 years later, I met with him in his office in his building is called Market Square. And we live in a town called High Point, North Carolina. And many of your listeners might be familiar. We are the furniture capital of the world. And he was very instrumental in the furniture capital and Market Square. And as I was looking around his office, I saw so many mementos of world leaders, and I knew there was a tremendous story there to be told, of photos and other mementos as the Kofta from the Dalai Lama and so many other things. And so as we sat down to talk, I just decided just to blurt out the question to him, would he agree to have me write his life story, and it would be my first book. And he was a little hesitant, but he finally agreed, as long as it would help others and inspire others.
Well, thank goodness
so
for that.
My first book, Come On America.
Let me direct my next question to Ambassador Dave Phillips. Ambassador, you had to overcome a lot of challenges and obstacles in your life before you became ambassador to Estonia. Can you talk about that a little bit, sir?
I'll be glad to. That I was born with a birth defect and dealt with that for 14 years until I had my left leg amputated. And it's never bothered. I think it has to do with, I was born with it. I was accustomed with it. It wasn't like having a car wreck where the next morning you wake up and you've got an artificial leg. So I think that's kind of helped me along the way, to be honest. This thing is, it's no big deal. It's just part of life. And that from there, going into different aspects of life where I went off to boarding school up north and I then came and got involved in the furniture industry and sold three of those companies to New York Stock Exchange companies, and the best part of my life was that my marriage and four daughters.
The title of Mary Bogist's book about former Ambassador Dave Phillips is entitled Come On America. Mr. Ambassador, you served in government in the state of North Carolina earlier. You were Secretary of Commerce there. And in today's day and age, we don't see the what was happening years ago, how Republicans and Democrats came together. I mean, you're a Republican, but you were appointed Secretary of Commerce by a Democratic governor. Do I have that information correct, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You do. You do. And it did create some discussion in this community where the governor, he came back into office. He had been governor for 8 years. Highly respected, and came back in, won another term, and then another term. And he asked me to serve as his Secretary of Commerce. And I had the profile of a business person. And he and I then started traveling America and traveling the world, creating jobs for Americans. Especially, we tried to, of course, get those companies to locate in North Carolina. But it's yes, we work together beautifully.
Mary, let me direct a question to you. As you were researching and then writing about the life of Dave Phillips, what are some of the lessons that you learned from the challenges that he had to overcome?
Well, one of the things is that to always have a positive attitude. He, even though he had his leg amputated at a very young age and was subjected to bullying, he always faced life with a positive attitude. And in fact, he was quite the mischievous maker and got into a little bit of trouble. And so he always, but even so, and there's some really funny stories in the book about him. So it wasn't like an easy straight line up the ladder there. He had some challenges, the challenges that he overcame and really actually made into opportunities. But his look at life and his, how he always looked at everything. He looked at the whole world as an opportunity, and he never looked at anything with a chip on his shoulder, which he very well could have. He could have said, poor me, I have this or that, but he never did. He never, ever did. Or when he took a risk in his business, he said, oh, he could have said, oh, well, that was a failure. No, that was another opportunity. Everything he looked at was an opportunity. He looked at the whole world as an opportunity, and then he traveled the whole world and as an and looked at it as an opportunity. So I admire him greatly. I admired him before I wrote the book. I admire him even greater after I wrote the book. So there's a lot of inspiration here on all levels, and how he reaches across to every person, no matter friend or foe, to welcome them. I love that about Dave.
Mr. Ambassador, you faced some challenges, too, while you were serving as ambassador to Estonia, including, as I understand it, a cyber attack on that country from Russia. That must have been a real challenge for you.
It was. It's unbelievable. I left Washington that morning early and arrived in Estonia late that evening, and there had been no word whatsoever back in Washington that there were this cyber attack was going on. So I started going into town, and there were riots in the street, and it was the first, they were rioting because of a Soviet statue downtown. Tallinn, Estonia was being taken down. And the Russians, the next morning, started a cyber attack, first cyber nation in the history of the world to be attacked via cyber warfare. It was effective. I mean, the world learned a lot about what it meant to be in a cyber situation. It's ironic for people to learn that Estonia, this country that is on the Baltic, is very high-tech. And that's where item like Skype was created. So Estonia dealt with it, and NATO came in and learned to deal with it. And so it was a learning curve for the West.
Well, I wish we had more time to chat, but I know you've got a lot of interviews scheduled today, so I'm going to have to let you go. Once again, the title of Mary Boges' book about former Ambassador Dave Phillips is entitled Come On, America. And it's been our real pleasure to talk with both Mary and Dave today. Folks, thanks for being with us. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say, I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation. Visitations, flowers, church service, or not, all these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now, before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions. Pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Coming up on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR Listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. We're going to be talking about Get What You Want From Your Man, a guide to creating the relationship you deserve. The author of this book is Shirley Baldwin, and she is with us on the telephone. Hi, Shirley. How are you?
I'm great, Dave. Thank you for having me.
This is a provocative title. Tell us a little bit about how you came to write this book, Shirley.
Well, I kind of had a crazy life story, just as probably a lot of people had, and I went through a lot of stuff, learned to overcome it, and a lot of that happened in my relationship. And I had read a lot of books for women and relationships, and most of them were about how to use control and manipulation, head games to get what they want. So I wanted to write something with a different twist. And in my book, I meet women where they're at in the frustration and the kind of the blaming game world, and take them on a journey of self-discovery that they can get whatever they want just by how they are being and showing up in that relationship.
And you talk in your book about how we have to continue to seek love and seek happiness, even when prior relationships didn't end very well. Keep on plugging, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I would say just like everything else, try, keep trying till you fail, or fail, and try again. You know, everyone's got their own little thing on that. But yeah, I've failed a few times, and I've learned, and I figured out how not to fail again. I think that it's super important to just continue to learn from your experience and take it into the next one, and hopefully we land like I have on the one that's going to stick and the one that we can put all of that learning to, you know, just as practice until you make it perfect.
Shirley Baldwin, listeners, is a certified life coach. She's devoted her life to serving others. Over the past many years, her clients have included Major League Baseball, celebrities, Olympian gymnast, college basketball stars, children, women in transition, and a lot. Let's talk a little bit about gender differences, because in your book you say we have to understand them, right? Maybe even embrace them.
For sure. I think it's super important. We have men and women. We obviously came down here and we look completely different. And, you know, I think that our world and society has just kind of created this equality movement where women are trying to compete as men in a men's world instead of just being women. And I love that we both have our own strengths and our own roles, that we complement each other. You know, women are nurturers by nature, men are strong, and we just kind of have all of these complementary parts. And so when we're trying to force women to become men so they can compete with men and in that masculinity, I think it just takes away from the beauty of the different genders and how we can complement each other.
Don't mean to generalize, but women many times have a tendency to talk negatively about their man when ladies get together, don't they, Shirley?
Yeah, they do. I've been in many places where it becomes kind of like a bashing competition. And I think it's super important to know that we can find evidence in anything. We can find evidence if we're looking for negative, and we can find evidence if we're looking for the positive. And it's really great to be able to be to a place where we are searching for the positive, and we can be the person that brings up the positive. Because I think there's always like this one up thing, like, well, my husband did this. Oh yeah, well, my husband did this. And so I always try to create a positive room when I'm in it, where we can compete on a positive level instead of bringing up all the negative. Because honestly, you're going to find whatever you're searching for.
It's unrealistic, though, isn't it, Shirley Baldwin, to think that men and women are not going to argue with each other, even happily married couples or partners?
Of course. Wait, my husband and I, you know, we kind of created this set of rules around arguing, because obviously we're not going to see eye to eye on everything. And I think too often people just kind of get into arguments, and we say a lot of really bad stuff, and it creates more issues. And so we've created 10 rules for fighting, and it's been very productive for us. We always try to touch if we're able to. We allow the other's perspective. We look at right and wrong as if it doesn't exist, and that there's just this whole place for just is. We don't call each other names or threaten to quit or leave. We try to create a win-win and not bring up the past. And even if we do agree to disagree, at the end of our conversation, we always try to express love and gratitude for each other that we were able to get through yet another trial or another part of adversity.
Our time begins to run short, but if you could talk briefly about the three things that every woman can and should do for her husband or her partner.
Well, I think men need a lot of things, but the top three things that I've interviewed hundreds of men, and the top three things that they need: one is affection, physical touch, lots of like cuddling, loving time, admiration. Men love to be built up, obviously. That, you know, the male ego needs compliments, praise, encouragement, support, and it works. Like, if you can praise your man, he rises up to that. Communication is huge. I think when they ask if something's wrong and we say nothing, nothing always means something. So it'd be really great for them to be able to hear this is wrong and then have a way to fix it, because men are fixers. So yeah, affection, admiration, communication are huge.
It's a nice little book. You can easily fit it into your bag or whatever. The title is Get What You Want From Your Man, A Guide to Creating the Relationship You Deserve, by Shirley Baldwin, with whom we've had the pleasure of chatting here for the last few minutes. Shirley, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot has delicious, all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens to make your Thanksgiving meal special this year. Their birds are handled with extreme care and are preservative and additive-free. Buy your turkey frozen today or get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. For the tastiest turkeys and chickens in Western PA, call the Jones Turkey Farm, 724-352-2450, or visit jonesturkeyfarm.com. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best.
And now, frozen sweet corn available too.
Undoubtedly, the most influential band of all time was the Beatles, with 20 number one hits. Experience one of the top-rated Beatles tribute bands, A Hard Day's Night, at Tanglewood Center on Saturday, November 16th. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Dinner buffet by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. Only $35. As always, it's BYOB. There's no doubt why this group was invited to Liverpool, England, to perform during International Beatles Week. For tickets, call Tanglewood at 287-0021.
Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby is not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.